Our second reading was 1 Corinthians 15. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, Kepha, and then the 12, and after that Christ appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Afterwards he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is within me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preached. We preach, and you believed. There's multiple things in this passage that have always struck me as so interesting. In the first place, he starts off saying, I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel which I preached to you. This is in an era when the church existed and the New Testament did not. And a lot of people find that a hard concept to get behind. But for generations, there weren't even writings of the New Testament, at least 20 to 30 to 40 years before most of them were written. And even then, they were disseminated in various areas. There weren't collections of them till the end of the first century. And even then, nobody was clear on what books did or didn't belong. You had people accepting certain books that later were understood not be there, like Clement's epistle, even though Clement's mentioned by Paul to the Corinthians. It was read by the Corinthians in their masses. It was received as apostolic. In fact, they regarded it as 3 Corinthians after the two letters they got from Paul, which purportedly was actually a third letter from Paul, if I recall. When he writes 1 Corinthians, I think he references a prior message, but he also was with them and he was preaching with them. So again, this points out the fact that the faith was handed on orally. And then he says this, the gospel which I preached you, which you indeed you received, and in which you also stand, through it you are also being saved. And then he says, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This shows a couple of things. When we hear about salvation in Scripture, oftentimes it's very common in a lot of Protestant denominations to view it as once you're saved, you're always saved. Once saved, always saved, assurance of salvation, easy believism. There's lots of ways to put it, some of them more pejorative than others. And as a Catholic, we would understand for sure that once you're in heaven, you're truly saved and you won't cease to be saved once you are in heaven. But on this earth, salvation begins as a gift from God, at which point we become cooperators with that grace in some way. It's always the grace that's acting. Paul makes this point explicitly in this text, but nevertheless, we have to cooperate with it. If we cease to cooperate with it, we can believe for a little while and then have believed in vain because we resist the grace. As he says this in other places, you always resist the Holy Spirit, right? And then he hands on, you know, the core of the gospel. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, as it was foretold, the ancient writings, Isaiah, etc. And he was buried, raised on the third day, also again, according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, the leader of the 12, and then to the 12. I do find it interesting that he separates Cephas from the 12, and then the 12 from the apostles, to all the apostles, which shows you that these terms were a little fluid in his day. Apostle just means one who is sent, though generally speaking, it's understood to be the highest of the offices. The 12 apostles were the apostles, and then Paul, and of course, Matthias, who in Acts chapter 1 takes over for Judas when Judas steps out of the picture. But then you see Paul's, you know, humility. I always sympathize with Paul. It took me a long time to understand how to read Paul, and I'm still not an expert in Pauline literature, but I love the fact that he just says, you know, I'm the least of the apostles. I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, and he goes into full Popeye mode, right? I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them, but not I, but the grace of God that is within me. So his very grace, his very life, his very spirit is in us, dwelling in us, and helping us to do the good works that were prepared for us, another phrase that Paul will use elsewhere. And I think that really helps us to understand the real core of the message of salvation. And it's A, salvation is a two-way street. God wills the salvation of all. Scripture tells us that, but all will almost certainly not be saved. And if that's the case, then something thwarts God's will by his own will. And that would be our freedom, our authentic freedom, our ability to say no. If our first parents, who were created perfect, could reject him in the garden, then so too can we reject him even after the gift of grace has been given to us. We see Paul using similar analogies in places like Romans 11 about the vine and the branches, drawing on Jesus's own metaphor. He says, you were grafted on, but you can be pruned off if you don't bear fruit, right? And so we see we have to bear fruit. We have to abide. We have to remain. And so in this life, we are being saved. We are not yet fully saved, though you can still speak of someone as saved. And you will see even in scripture, this phraseology happen. I am saved. I'm being saved. I have the hope of being saved. We will be saved. All of these are used. And the only way you can square them all is if you understand that I am saved speaks of I'm currently in this relationship, but understands that that relationship can be lost at the end of the day.